Praise the Lord, church. Praise the Lord. We're going to dive into this morning's sermon. We are in Acts chapter 19. I'm just going to read the passage and then we pray. Acts chapter 19 and verse 1 to verse 10. Just a few verses here. And it says, "And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth, that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, he said to them, 'Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?' So they said to him, 'We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit.' And he said to them, 'Into what then were you baptized?' So they said, 'Into John's baptism.' Then Paul said, 'John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus.' When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now the men were about 12 in all. And he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. But when some were hardened and did not believe, but spoke evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from them and withdrew the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. And this continued for 2 years, so that all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks." Here ends a portion of God's holy word. We honor it by saying, amen. Let us pray. Eternal God, we thank you for your word. Bless your word to our hearts and glorify your name. I pray for all those who are in church today that your word, Lord God, will fall on good soil. That there will be something that will be joyful in their hearts. A good word, Lord God, lift them up to a higher place. So we thank you, Lord God, to bless your word to our hearts and glorify your matchless name. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. So we are in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 19. As you notice, I am skipping chapters as I go along because I am not preaching it chapter by chapter, verse by verse. I'm just highlighting selected sections from the book of Acts. And the topic this morning is, have you received the Holy Spirit? Have you received the Holy Spirit? Sometimes, you know, I struggle to find a sermon topic, but other times a sermon topic is right there in the text. And Paul asks the people, in verse 2 of our passage, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And I really believe that's a powerful question, and I believe it's an appropriate question. And I have rephrased it a little. Have you received the Holy Spirit? As you would imagine, there is a lot of talk about this passage. There is a lot of talk about the receiving of the Holy Spirit. If I should go around right now and do a poll and talk to you one-on-one about receiving the Holy Spirit, I'm sure I might get different answers. Because, believe it or not, there is so much teaching out there that I believe is not true. And there are so many persons that are led astray about what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit, what it means to receive the Holy Spirit, what it means to be walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to hopefully clear up some of the confusion. Hopefully I don't make it more confusing today. And I hope that we will leave with a better understanding of what it means to receive the Holy Spirit, what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit, what it means to be walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. So pay careful attention, because this, as you know, is very important for us as Christians. So there are two great baptisms in the New Testament. There are two great baptisms to be found here in the text of the New Testament document. These baptisms, you would say, dominate the life of the early church. The first baptism is the baptism of John. And the second baptism is the baptism, I would say, of Jesus Christ. That's how I would put it. John the Baptist used baptism as a proof of repentance. The Jews needed to demonstrate that they have repented from the ways of the law. And so John the Baptist came. In fact, we call him John the Baptizer, don't it? John the Baptist. His last name is not the Baptist, okay? Don't think that it's John and his last name is the Baptist. No, he's just that he's the one that brought in this new thing, so to speak, in Jerusalem at the time. No one ever practiced baptism as a form of ritual understanding where God is concerned in the Old Testament. What they practiced was circumcision. That's what the Jews practiced. But here come John the Baptist saying, no, you need to be baptized through immersion by going in the water. And for many people, this was a new thing. This was something that they are being introduced to for the first time. But John called on people to engage in baptism as proof of repentance. So that is why John's baptism is a baptism unto repentance. It is known as a baptism of repentance. This is the way that the new believers who are Jews show that they are sincere and that they are committed to this new life, this new way. So let's do a survey of scriptures where Jesus dealt with the Holy Spirit, is teaching on it, and also we are going to see how that plays out where baptism of the Holy Spirit is concerned and how that is different from John's baptism, which is a baptism unto repentance. So first text, John 1 and verse 33. John says, I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. So John is recognizing that there is a baptism that is different from his baptism. Are you following? He is recognizing that there is a baptism that really is a baptism that's of a higher level than what he is offering. He recognized that his baptism that he is performing is a good first step, but there is one coming after him who John said is going to baptize with the Holy Spirit. That's John 1 and verse 33. Watch this other text. John 7 verse 37. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, and as the scriptures have said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this is spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him, listen this, those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. So the Holy Spirit would be given after Jesus was glorified. Are you following? It is not pre Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. It is after Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. The Holy Spirit will come, and the Holy Spirit will be given to Jesus' disciples. And where do we get that from? I can't read all of it this morning, but John chapter 14, 15, and 16. Jesus talks about he is sending the promise from the Father. He's sending the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is coming to testify of him. So, what happened here, we find another text in John 20, verse 19 to 23, where we read this. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. This is after the resurrection. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also sent you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." This is the first time that the Holy Spirit is being given to the disciples. And the Holy Spirit is given to the disciples, as a living witness in the absence of Jesus on the earth. Are you following? So the presence, the physical presence of Jesus on the earth is manifested in the person of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. And so, when Jesus was about to leave the earth and ascended in Acts chapter 1 and verse 5, Jesus says this, speaking of John, he says, "For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." And one of the most critical missional passage text in the book of Acts, Acts 1 and verse 8, we read, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." So Jesus tells his disciples that I'm going to leave with you a comforter. I'm going to leave with you another agent. I'm going to leave with you a powerful manifestation of my presence with you. And that powerful manifestation of my presence with you is the Holy Spirit. And that is what he said he will send. And so the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples. And this is why many persons, you know, do not see the Holy Spirit as a separate entity. But clearly, this is a separate person. We definitely refer to the Holy Spirit as a person in the Trinitarian doctrine. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit given as a person, a separate entity. Jesus said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you. And when he come upon you, you shall be my witnesses. So in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples and those who were gathered. And guess what? They started speaking in tongues. But guess what? I preached on this the other day. I told you from Acts chapter 2. The purpose of the Holy Spirit, essentially, not only was the Holy Spirit given to affirm in the believers that they are not alone, a seal upon the heart of the believers, the Holy Spirit was given also for you to be witnesses, testify. This is one of the main purposes of the Holy Spirit, to testify about Jesus. So whenever you hear someone say they are filled with the Holy Spirit, but Jesus is not coming from their lips, they are more exalting themselves or their doctrine more than the Lord Jesus Christ, that's not a correct understanding of what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit, the Bible tells us, his whole purpose is to testify to the works of Jesus, to affirm that Jesus is Christ and Lord. And one of the reasons I know that I am a believer, and I'm sure of that, is because of the witness of the Holy Spirit to me. Because there are many people in this world who do not have the Bible, as you know. There are many people in this world who can't read. There are many persons in this world who are called by God and they are sure of their salvation. Not because they read it in a book or hear somebody say it, but the witness of the Holy Spirit have cemented it in their hearts. Are you following, church? So we come to Acts chapter 19. That's a quick development. But we come to Acts chapter 19 And we read in Acts chapter 19, it happened while Apollos was at Corinth. Does anybody know who Apollos is? Not much is known about Apollos, is there? But we read a little bit about Apollos in verse 24 of Acts chapter 18. Just in your Bible there, just go up a little bit. You see a little bit about Apollos. I read, "Now a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man." So clearly Apollos is well-learned, is well-trained. He can talk very well. He talked the talk. So he's an eloquent man, listen to this, and mighty in the scriptures. So clearly Apollos know the Bible. "So Apollos came to Ephesus. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord and being fervent in spirit." So Apollos had a passion for the things of God. We are getting a biographical sketch of who this Apollos is. "He spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord. Though he only knew," what he only knew? He only knew the what? The baptism of John. So you notice the writers are making a distinction between the baptism of John and the baptism of Jesus Christ, which is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. "He only knew the baptism of John. So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately." And more accurately there mean what? Can anyone guess? More accurately means they explained to him not only the baptism of John, but the baptism of the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ. Are you following? So he now has a full picture of what baptism means for the believer. So they explained to him the way of God more accurately. "And when he desired to cross to Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him. And when he arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace. For he vigorously refuted the Jews publicly, showing from the scriptures that Jesus is the Christ." So we get a little sketch about Apollos. And Apollos' work was so powerful, by the way. In Corinth, we read in 1 Corinthians 1:12 that there was a division in the church. And some of the people were saying, "I am of Paul and I am of Apollos." So you notice that there was a strong division and everybody have who they follow. And they also say, "I am of Cephas." 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 6, Paul says, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase." And then Paul says, "No, he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor." So Paul is recognizing the work of Apollos in Corinth. So after Apollos received instruction from Aquila and Priscilla, it's clear that he went on to do marvelous work in Corinth, to the point that there was even a division. Some were saying they were of Paul, and some were saying that they were of Apollos. So verse 1 of chapter 19, it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, essentially away from the coast, came to Ephesus, and there were some disciples at Ephesus. And Paul asked them a question: "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" Now, this is very interesting. I don't know what your teaching is on the Holy Spirit, but for Paul, he is saying something here that causes us to pause. Because for many persons, salvation for them is an acceptance of the Holy Spirit. Once they are saved, they essentially say, "I have received the Holy Spirit." So a belief unto salvation for many people is the moment, the point in time when they say that they are baptized or they receive the Holy Spirit. But how do you read this question? Do you read it as salvation and receiving of the Holy Spirit as a one-time event? Or do you read it as salvation and then a receiving of the Holy Spirit at a different time? Or could they be both the same thing? You could get saved and receive the Holy Spirit at the same time. Or you get saved for some people and they receive it at another time. How do you read it? How do you understand it from what you have learned in church all these years? From what you learned from reading the scriptures? How do you understand this passage? And let me say it again, just for emphasis. Do you understand the receiving of the Holy Spirit as something that happens when you got saved? Or do you believe it is something that happened after you get saved? And so, this is essentially, believe it or not, the big debate. I am not claiming that I am going to solve all the issues where this debate is concerned. Because this debate has been going on long before I was even born. So I only have to come and try my best to stay as close as to the scriptures and preach as faithfully as I can what I see in the text. So here we have Paul ask him this question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And let me ask you a question. If I should ask you, brothers and sisters, are you filled with the Holy Spirit? I want you to honestly think about that. And how do you know that you are filled with the Holy Spirit? And if Paul were to ask you this question, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believe? What would you answer? And how would you know that your answer is right? Because we could say anything, don't it? We could say no, we could say maybe, we could say yes. Let us answer this question like people who understand what he's asking. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believe? That's what he asked them. So they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. So they had faith in Christ. They believed in the works of Christ. They believed that he died, he was buried, and that he rose again. They had faith in him, but they had not learned about the Holy Spirit. No one taught them about the Holy Spirit. They taught them about salvation. They taught them about conversion and practicing the things that now are part of the way, because they weren't called Christians at this time. They were just following the way of Jesus Christ. But no one taught them about the Holy Spirit and receiving the Holy Spirit. And this was very important, obviously, for every believer. So Paul says to them, John indeed, verse 4 of your text, John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Jesus Christ. That is what the disciples believe. They believe John's word, that they should believe on Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, this verse is a very interesting verse. And I believe the explanation of this verse essentially comes from Acts chapter 2. On the day of Pentecost, the Bible tells us the people who were gathered early in the morning, about 9 o'clock, when the Holy Spirit came, that is a baptism of the Holy Spirit that came upon the people. And so everyone started to speak in tongues, unknown tongues, but everyone could, from a different group of people, could understand what was being spoken. And when Paul had laid hands on them, verse 6, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and watch this, similar language to Acts chapter 2, isn't it? And they spoke with tongues and what? And prophesied. So what we are seeing here is a repetition of a very similar occurrence earlier on in the book of Acts. The anointing and the baptism of the Holy Spirit that happened in Acts chapter 2, we find very similar thematic outlines here in Acts chapter 19. The speaking of tongues and all these things that characterize the believers there. Now watch this, verse 7. Now the men were about 12 in all, and he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. Now, it's very interesting to me, because here I realize what was going on. they had not received the Holy Spirit because they had only believed in John's baptism. They had only believed in repentance. And essentially, repentance unto good works, you could say. They had believed in repentance. They had believed that John came baptizing, and there's something about Jesus that we need to believe in. In fact, we believe he's the Messiah. So they had believed that, they had affirmed that. But Paul says there is another aspect to your faith, and that is the receiving of the Holy Spirit. And so Paul says, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? First thing, he recognized that there is the possibility of the reception of the Holy Spirit at conversion. There is the possibility of receiving the Holy Spirit when somebody placed their faith in the Lord. He recognized at the new birth, there is the possibility of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So when he asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believe? For some people, they received the Holy Spirit at that point in time, or else the question won't make much sense. Are you following? No? Yeah? I have to say it again. The question that Paul asks, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believe, is a question that shows that there is the possibility of receiving the Holy Spirit when you believe. Are you following? Okay. The other part that we have to take into consideration, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believe, means that there is the possibility of some people believing and not receiving the Holy Spirit when they believe. Are you following? So you see what's going on here? You see what's going on? There are persons, clearly in the New Testament, at conversion, received the Holy Spirit and became filled with the Holy Spirit. But there are persons at conversion who did not receive the Holy Spirit, and at a later stage in their journey, in their walk, they received the Holy Spirit. And I believe that is what Paul is getting at by asking this question. He's getting at the fact that there is the possibility that there are believers in Jesus Christ at this point in time, converted, yes, but have not yet received the Holy Spirit. And so, it's very interesting. You know I'm from the Pentecostal background, right? I'm not ashamed of it. I love it. That's why I see sometimes I sing loud. Fire in my bone. I love it. I love it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I remember, you know, when I used to go to church, it could be 3 or 4 people in the church. But it sounds like it's a mighty throng, so to speak. It sounds like an orchestra. It sounds like an orchestra. Because essentially, as you know, when you go into Pentecostal churches, we need a little bit more Pentecost. When you go into Pentecostal churches, you know, part of it is you have to move. There's a song, by the way, by that they love. You have to move. You have to move. You understand? You have to move. You have to. I know the dance. You're right. I know the lingo. I know the vibe. I know the dance. That was a huge part of my upbringing, and I love it. My mom is still a Pentecostal person, as you. She still goes even till this day. My grandmother, 14 kids she had. 14 children, my grandmother. 7 boys, 7 girls. My grandfather was a Seventh-day Adventist, strong Seventh-day Adventist. And the 14 children that they had, the 14 of them become Pentecost. I don't know how this worked. So my grandmother was in it, just about 1 or 2 Go. But just generally, they identify as Pentecostal, generally. But my grandmother, my mother, then I was in it, you understand? So the whole family practically identified this way. But part of the teaching that I receive is that if I don't speak in tongue, then I'm not filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what I receive. This is not somebody who I hear somebody say this. I receive this for myself. If I don't speak in tongues, and I don't even knew what tongues meant, but I knew that there were persons who spoke in a language. Let me say, a language that I never understood as a child. And I was told that I wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit because I didn't do it. So I said, how do I get it?
How do I do this? Because you don't want to be a part of the mix and you don't do it. You understand? So I want to do it. And they say, okay, you know, you have to do a few things. You have to tarry. And Justin was telling me about something. He went to a conference once. I won't call the church name. But I gather it's a very big church, right, Justin? Very big church. And at the end, popular church here in Jersey too. Very big church. At the end, the pastor was leading people to, Justin, correct me if I'm wrong, right? But the pastor was leading people to start practicing speaking in tongues. To receive the Holy Spirit. Okay, he was leading people to receive the Holy Spirit, right? And part of it was to, like, repeat after me. So you say something, repeat after me, repeat after me, repeat after me. Now, where did he get this from? Where did he get this from? That this is scripture, this is what you practice. This is how you lead your church. This is what filling with the Holy Spirit means. Where did he get this from? And I'm saying, let us go back to the text. Because guess what? That is what I am going to be judged by. And that is what you are going to be judged by. Let us go back to the text. What does the Bible say about receiving the Holy Spirit? Can you justify your position from the scriptures? And I know. I speak as somebody who grew up in a certain tradition. I'm not just second-hand information. And if I go back, I go visit this church. I try get some fire in my bone. Right? I go back. You understand? But I understand certain theology. But I said, okay, I understand tradition is one thing. But tell me about the scripture now. Tell me about the scripture. So here we have these disciples. And Paul says, have you received the Holy Spirit? Or did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And the Bible says, when Paul laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now we understand this. Hallelujah. Now we know it is possible for people who are filled with the Holy Spirit to speak in tongues and prophesy. It is a possibility. I am not against that. And I love to hear when persons are under conviction publicly and privately and speaking in tongues and talking the things of God. I am someone who marvel at it, even though I would love to understand much of what they're saying, but sometimes I don't understand it. But I say ultimately that's between, you know, the person and God to work that out. But one of the things I don't know if I probably I shouldn't say this, but you know, one night I was here at a prayer meeting and my wife could tell you and something happened. Like, we were living in New York at the time and, like, you know, something happened in my life that night, I tell you. I was somewhere on the floor there and when I went over, I couldn't drive. Like, I was driving, but it's like I was shaking. I couldn't drive. So I was driving, but I was still crying and whatever. So by the time I reached George Washington Bridge, I had to pull over and ask my wife to drive. And when I reached home, it's like I couldn't get out the car. So I was in the car there crying. And then I said, oh my gosh. I said to my wife, I don't want to sound like an idiot. But then I started speaking in tongues. And my wife said, look, stop it. Stop it. She said, no. She's not saying stop it to speak in tongues. She's saying stop it, stop quenching it or stop fighting against it. She said, allow the Lord to have his way in your life. And I'm like, babe, no, I want to sound like a... So I was there, like my conscience was still there and I was still conscious about, does this make... I'm still trying to justify it, so to speak, in my own fleshly way. My wife said, look, allow the Lord to have his way. I'm so glad she was there beside me. You could ask her. I'm so glad she was there beside me in the car. And something happened. Honestly, I don't have the gift of interpretation yet. I'm still praying for it, by the way. I don't have it. But I don't know exactly what happened. But I believe that night something happened in my life that's different from what happened when I got saved. So, look, no one came and laid hands on me. It was probably 3 or 4 we here at prayer meeting one night. There was another time I went to Treadways in Jamaica. Brother, have you know Treadways? No. Treadways. Anybody know Treadways? She know Treadways. Cheryl know Treadways. We had a church in Treadways Gospel Assembly. they had a meeting. I don't know, some evangelistic outreach meeting, right? And the pastor, Shane, you could help me with this guy named, man. He used to go to, is it Duane Park? And he wear fancy suits. I don't know, Duane Park. Matt Bean, yes. Pastor Matt Bean, who was the preacher at that event. And I went with my church, and I was just in the corner. Treadways is a very small church, probably similar to us in size. And I was in one of the corners, like where Sister Merlin is. That's where the Holy Spirit spot is, Sister Merlin. So I was in the corner, right where Sister Merlin is, and they were doing praise and worship. And I was there singing praise and worship. And let me tell you something. A strange sense came over me. And for the first time, probably for the first time, I started crying during church, right? As a young boy. But would you believe, at that time, right after it, that's when the conviction came upon me to go into full-time ministry. It was no big gathering. It was God himself who showed up and did some. Those are two events. I can't tell you about my personal life. Now, I have come to believe that for people it works different ways. I have come to believe that for some people, at conversion, they are filled with the Holy Spirit. And what happened is this. Their actions radically move, change. So someone just drop every sin they used to commit, it just drop like that. Bam! For some people. And what causes that to happen is the power of the Holy Spirit took a hold of them at conversion. But I believe for other people, the process takes longer. The process takes longer. And there is a scripture that Jesus says, the Father loves to give. He's a cheerful giver, essentially. And you should ask the Father to give you the Holy Spirit. Why? Because there is the possibility for some believers not to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Right? And how do you know that? One of the things I believe filling with the Holy Spirit does, it gives you a strong conviction about Jesus Christ. Give you a strong conviction about the things of God. So, you don't keep yourself a Christian. The Holy Spirit keep you as a Christian. You don't keep yourself reading the Bible. The Holy Spirit keep you reading the Bible. You don't keep yourself following the ways of God and not walking in sin. The Holy Spirit keep you from sinning. So, when someone is not necessarily interested in the word of God, not interested in following the ways of God, not interested in doing what God says is to be done, I am concerned if that person is truly filled with the Holy Spirit. Because the testimony and witness of the Holy Spirit is that the manifestation of that is in the things that you do that exalt Jesus Christ. You can't trick me with tongues. I respect people who have that gift. It is a gift. I am not someone against it. I'm not against it. And I don't mock it. I don't laugh at it. I tremble before God when I see persons break out in tongues. It's a special gift. But I want us to be careful of thinking that, oh, I can mistreat my wife. I can mistreat my husband. But I can run up and down in church aisle and speak in tongues. Be careful of that. Be careful of saying the only manifestation of being filled with the Spirit is tongues. I believe it's one of them, but a greater manifestation of being filled with the Spirit is the life that you live that exalts Jesus Christ. Because the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to testify of Jesus Christ. So they spoke in tongues. You can't deny it. You can't say people don't speak in tongues. They spoke in tongues. Isn't that what the Bible says? They spoke in tongues and prophesied. And the prophecy here is to testify, I believe, of the works of God and the word of God. So this is something that happened. So let me ask you a question again. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believe? And that's important to answer. And the joy of your life, I believe, is in receiving the power of the Holy Spirit. And so Paul prayed, the Holy Spirit came upon them. Then Paul went to the synagogue. But watch verse 9. But some were hardened and did not believe, but spoke evil of the way, that is what they called Christianity at the time, before the multitude. And he departed from them and withdrew the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. And this continued for 2 years until Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. There's a song that we sing. That's the last verse. I'm going to wrap up now. There's a song that we sing. Come, Holy Spirit, we need you. Come, Holy Spirit, I pray. Come in your strength and your power. Come in your own special way. It's a very powerful song. I wish I had another sermon on the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Because I feel like we are in a time when we need Jesus to come in and breathe on us again. Remember when he came unto the disciples? We read it today. He came, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And I don't believe it's in Benny Hinn's hand. You know what I mean? I don't believe it's in some human hand to blow on people and all kind of thing. He is not Jesus. I hope he knows Jesus, by the way. But we are in a time, I mean, churches are in a time when so much of the flesh is exalted, so much of the ways of man is exalted, little dependence on the Holy Spirit. I don't want to be that type of pastor, as I said, because I have to stand before God, right? I don't want to be that type of Christian. I don't want to be that type of husband. I don't want to be that type of father. No one can say here, we have not even heard of the Holy Spirit. Well, today you hear about the Holy Spirit. But for these people here, they said, we have not even heard. We have not even heard of the Holy Spirit. And Paul said to them, okay, the baptism of John is a baptism of repentance. But one came who was greater than John, and he baptized you with the Holy Spirit. And I believe as a church, I don't want to take anything for granted, eh? I think it's something that we really have to stop and think about. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believe? Or if not, the Bible says the Father gives the Holy Spirit to those who ask of him. Some people, I believe, immediately at conversion it happened. But for others, it's after. And how do you know? To what degree do you have a passion to exalt Jesus Christ? And this is not a questioning of your salvation. Paul wasn't there to question if they were saved. But Paul was asking them if they had received the Holy Spirit. This is a next level of the faith, the maturity, of the conviction. And if you want to live for God, it's hard to live for God without being filled with the Holy Spirit. Examine yourself, brothers and sisters, as I continue to examine myself. And I continue to ask the questions. To recognize that it's by the Spirit. It's not by my strength. To recognize that I don't need to break out in tongues to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Although God, I believe, has bless some of us with that gift. Extraordinary gift. And by the way, there's another way to read this Bible. We have to think about it.
there might be some people who have the gift of tongues who are not filled with the Holy Spirit. But we might think about that some more as we come and look at the gifts that are given. The gifts that are given to people. So as we continue to read the scripture and examine ourselves, let us ask this question. To what degree is my life exalting Jesus? And my passions and convictions are for him. And I believe if we love this world and the things of this world more than the things of God, and we say that we are believers, we have to take another look at what the cross means. We have to take another look at what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not of the flesh. If you are here today and you find that Jesus Christ is not highly exalted in your life, ask God to give you, touch you, breathe on you, and watch what happened. Watch what happened when God pour out his Holy Spirit on you. You watch how your life change. You watch how your loves change, your passions and your intentions. You watch how they change. I believe that we are at a stage where our churches need more people who are filled with the Holy Spirit. Not just talk the talk, right? But walk the walk. That's what our churches need. Persons of the Spirit, filled with it, received it. God has breathed on them. And I believe there could be many persons in church, like these disciples, who have not received the Holy Spirit. So, Father, we thank you for hearing us today. Perhaps, God, there are some hearts here who are willing to say, Lord, today I want to receive the Holy Spirit. Lord, you are the one that lay your hands. You are the one that can give it, rather. It's not in human strength, power. Father, we know that you are the one that breathes your breath on us. Perhaps there are persons in church today, Lord, who this is the missing link. This is the missing piece of the puzzle in their faith. And they wonder why they seem not to get any traction. I pray, oh God, that you will breathe on them. Breathe on them. So I pray for this church, Lord, that the world will know that we are filled with the Holy Spirit. And we are not ashamed of it. And that will be the testimony of our lives by the way we glorify Jesus. By the way we love each other. By the way we care about your word. That we are not walking in the flesh. We are walking according to the Spirit of God that dwells in us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Breathe on me, breath of God. Fill me with life anew. That I may love what thou dost love and do what thou wouldst do. Breathe on me, breath of God, until my heart is pure, until with thee I will one will to do and to till I am whole. glory.